Hi, this is Larry London. Welcome to Border Crossings. And today, our guests are Brian Kay and the Parkway. Brian Kay, we can get that. But you're the Parkway? That's the other guy's name, Russ, I think?
That's me, Stephen Russ.
Stephen Russ. Yeah, you're the Parkway. How did you become the whole Parkway?
I became the whole Parkway because when Brian and I started this band about 4 years ago, and a little bit after that, we started playing together. Every time I come to Brian's house, I go down the George Washington Memorial Parkway, which is beautiful, scenic, great views of D.C., and connects Arlington and Alexandria. So every time I do it, it's just a beautiful drive and felt right for the name of the band.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You have a lot of different things going on with your band because you guys are from Virginia, both of you. And yet you've got the Jersey sound. I think you use the word the very Jersey sound for your new album. And you've also been called Coastal Heartland Rock. So there's a couple of different things. So how did you come from Arlington, Virginia, to all of a sudden the Jersey Shores or the Jersey?
Well, you know, the D.C. area is a very transient place. And so most of the people you meet here were not born and raised here. And that's the case for both of us. So I'm actually from Freehold, New Jersey, originally, hometown of Bruce Springsteen, and, you know, lived a good number of my formative years there before traveling down to Virginia for college. And I've been here ever since. But in terms of the music and the influences, yeah, Coastal Heartland Rock is something we came up with that we hope catches on to a certain degree. And what we mean by that is, you know, there's this genre of Heartland Rock, which is, of course, like most genres, like a made up thing by critics that started in around the mid 70s and kind of carried through the 80s. Like that was kind of the real heyday of, like, you know, artists like Bruce Springsteen and Tom Petty and Warren Zevon and others. And the joke that we're making by throwing in the coastal modifier there is the fact that a lot of these people who make this music are actually from coastal regions like New Jersey and Florida and California and places like that.
How did you guys meet? How did you guys end up connecting? Because you don't live in the same city. And for those that don't know Virginia, because you know, we're broadcasting to 100 countries around the world.
Yeah.
You know, the areas that you guys are from are big cities in separate areas.
Well, believe it or not, I actually used to live, we're at Brian's house right now in Alexandria, Virginia. And I used to live about right over there. We were neighbors for a good bit of time. And I also at one point tried out for a band Brian is in. And as he would tell it, I ghosted them and totally left them hanging after the tryout, which I want to clear the record for everyone. It's not true. but it wasn't a great fit for me at the time. But we started playing shows together with our two bands and became really good friends. And over that time, I really enjoyed watching Brian kind of grow as a performer and songwriter. Every now and then, one of his bands would throw in one of his songs and he would perform. I was like, this guy's got something cool going on beyond just being my good friend. And I bugged you, I don't know, probably about 1,000 times to start writing something.
Give or take.
Yeah. And eventually it happened right before the pandemic started. So, you know, it was unfortunately timed on that front, but we had a lot of time during that to work together and kind of craft this album.
So your friends first, which is kind of cool. I mean that, you know, the friendship started and then the collaboration started. So that's kind of nice. That's a great story. Brian Kay and the Parkway, our guest today here on Border Crossings, the debut album is Killing the Bear. And that may sound, you know, pretty heavy. The music on the album is anything but heavy. It's you know, deals with social issues, deals with problems that our culture's going through, our country's going through, and you know, the way you guys process it through music. Music is therapeutic, right? I mean, you know, writing songs, singing songs, that can be very therapeutic.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, that's it was certainly therapy for me in writing this material, and we hope it has sort of the same impact on those who listen to it. And from the first couple of singles that we've released off the album already, Wind the Clock and Straight Through, we've been getting some great reactions from people, like really some real emotional stuff, which is great.
All right. Well, let's see if you guys would do a song for us first. I would love to hear something if you don't mind.
Sure. Yeah. We're going to kick it off with a tune called Just Rock and Roll. This is going to be a little different version than you might hear on the album. It's sped up a bit and done in a little bit more of a bluegrass style. And to help us out with this, we're inviting Parkway member Mike Shade to play guitar on it.
Just Rock and Roll. This is Border Crossings. Brian Kay and the Parkway. Brian Kay and the Parkway and Just Rock and Roll. And that song is on the new album, Killing the Bear. You've put out a couple of songs already. So why did you name it Killing the Bear?
Yeah, so Killing the Bear was the first song that I wrote as part of this song cycle, if you will. It's a bit of a concept album. And I had the idea that it really just kind of came to me in a vision one day, this idea of killing the bear as a metaphor for addressing our problems at the surface level versus addressing them at the root level. And so in the song itself, Killing the Bear, it tells the story of a character who does in fact literally kill a bear, as violent as that sounds, because he thinks that's what's going to be required to, you know, protect him and his family, protect his community, etc. But he doesn't see sort of the he doesn't see the forest for the trees, if you will, and what he actually needs to be doing to kind of actually protect his family and protect his community. And so that is then that same theme is then carried out through the rest of the songs on the album in one way or another.
Mm-hmm. And there seems to be a lot of things going on with bears these days. I don't know what it is. I know there's bear sightings in Virginia and Arlington, and you know, people have found bears roaming around. And then, of course, you know, The Revenant with Leonardo DiCaprio was about a bear attack. And yeah, there's lots of bear movies and bear things going out. So you've capitalized on a perfect theme at the perfect time. Killing the Bear. We're talking with Brian Kay and the Parkway, also known as Stephen Russ. It's nice to have both you guys here. I would be, you know, remiss in doing my job if I didn't ask what that photo is that is right in the middle of both of your heads. It's prominent behind you, and the viewers are probably saying, what is that? And why is that? What's special about that photo?
Yeah, so this is actually my wife. So my wife is a violinist, professional violinist, and plays in a string quartet in the area called the Cherry Blossom String Quartet, and teaches a studio of students. And so when she was a young budding musician, she went to the Brevard Music Center in Summers, which is in North Carolina, and it's sort of a music camp where you know, kids who are excelling at their instruments will go and spend a period of time over summers and do some performances and take master classes and things like that. So yeah, this is it's pretty fitting. You see that there's a violin behind
yeah,
me as
I
well.
see the Stradivarius. Is that what that is?
Yeah, right. Precisely. Yeah.
Well, Brian Kay in the Park, we are talking with us, and how would you describe your music?
Oh, I would describe our music as we kind of want to, you know, we classify it as heartland rock, but we really kind of touch on all the different things you can do within that genre. And mostly, I think it's really fun and energetic. I do play drums in the band, in addition to producing and every now and then pitching in with some songwriting. And I will say that I think one of the things that does make our music stand out a bit is that a lot of time the drums in heartland rock, they're kind of pulled back, they're in the background, and I that's just not like really what I do. I'm a like kind of grunge rock drummer by trade and sometimes a jazz drummer, and so I really kind of tried to make it feel a little different, pulling in a lot of those different influences that I have and applying them to the songs. And so, you know, I think you get songs that are kind of surprisingly dancey at spots, but they're really fun. And Brian is also a very kind of emotional songwriter, so a lot of the songs have pretty cool, big dynamic shifts.
That's very interesting. I mean, you know, that's in, who does the writing? So, Brian, you're the writer, the principal writer?
Primarily, yeah. I mean, I wrote all the tracks on the album. Steven contributed co-writing to a couple of those. Mm-hmm. But yeah, primarily it's myself.
And where do you get the inspiration for the songs that you're writing about? Is it life you've lived? Is it life you observed? A combination of the two? What?
Yeah, I mean, all the above. I mean, sometimes it's, you know, a newspaper article I read this morning that kind of sparked something in my mind. I can think of a couple instances on the album that is exactly what happened. You know, it could be any bit of media that I'm consuming, an inspirational quote that I read, for example, that might kind of set me off on a particular direction. So a lot from reading, a lot from, yeah, just experience. Mm-hmm. As you can probably tell, I'm not, you know, the youngest person fronting a new rock band. So I've got a little bit of life experience to bring to bear to this project as well.
Yes, you've got some miles. That's, you know, some experience, you know. But that sounds interesting. It's a very, you know, your approach to music is very interesting. And, you know, I guess you draw from personal experiences, and, it, you know, and sometimes it must not be easy to deal with certain subject matter. When you're a songwriter, you deal with sometimes sensitive subjects to write about. How do you process that? Is there like a line that you say, I'm not going to go there, or do you guys just write about everything?
Well, I mean, you know, I'd be curious to hear what Steven thinks about this. I mean, when I'm writing material, I'm pretty consciously trying to not write songs about my own life. Like, it's not these songs are not meant to be like windows into the inner world necessarily of Brian Kay. They are in a certain way, because they're subjects and they're themes that I think about a lot, right? But all like the songs are meant to much more be like character studies. They're not always like straightforward narratives, if you will, like you would get in like country or folk music. Some of them are, some of them aren't, but they're all, I really envision a different kind of character or set of characters for every one of these songs. And more often than not, it's, you know, I'm not among them. So.
Mm. All right. Brian Kay in the Parkway, would you do another song for us?
Absolutely. Let's do Green Mountain State, which actually on the album, features Brian's wife Erin on, was it that violin or was it just a different
No,
violin?
not
A
that
different
one.
one? Okay.
A violin.
A violin that we recorded in this very house. And for the show, we'll perform it with Mike Shade on lead guitar.
And it's called Green Parkway
Grass,
Stay. Oh.
it's the full title is the grass really greener, parentheses, in Mountain State.
All right, Brian Kay in the Parkway here on Border Crossings. Is the grass really greener? I love that line because I always use that line myself and say the grass is not greener. It's always greener on the other side till you get there, you know, and then it's not greener, but it's a metaphor for other things. I apply it in my personal life to coaching softball. You know, sports parents love to keep moving to different teams. You know, they lose
Oh,
interest
yeah.
and they always look for something better, and there is nothing better. You know, I mean, it's just different, but it's not better. We've got Brian Kay and the Parkway talking with us. Now, you've announced an East Coast tour.
Yes.
Tell me about
Absolutely.
that.
All right, we'll start down kind of in my southern neck of the woods. I'm a Carolina boy from birth and spent a lot of time in South Carolina as well. And so we'll actually start down in Charleston, South Carolina, and over the course of about a week and a half, we'll work our way all the way up to Boston and then back down to Brooklyn to finish the tour. And we're performing with a number of really cool bands along the way. We're playing with Diane Gentile in Brooklyn. We're playing with a great Boston band called The Lights Out. We're playing our album release show in DC on March 29th, and we'll actually stop back in to DC on that tour as well. For people who can't make it to the first show and want to see us, we're also doing a show in Asbury Park, another Bruce Springsteen haunt, which we're really excited about, and kind of thrilled to be making the debut of this band. You know, more than just playing, kind of a show, we really wanted to come out and kind of let people know, like, hey, this is Coastal Heartland Rock, and it's for the whole East Coast, and maybe eventually the West Coast as well, but maybe someday.
And maybe the actual Heartland too. We'll see.
Now, you
Maybe.
guys have been together since 2021. What took you so long to make an album?
Well, the first process was me kind of writing and demoing all the material, and that really kind of goes back to around March of 2020. It was 2021, summer of 2021, that Stephen and I decided to actually kind of make a go of it, form a band. Prior to that, he was just going to be producing the record, and then it was actually on a trip to both Freehold, New Jersey, and Asbury Park that we decided, no, let's actually try to make a go of this as a band and like see what happens if we start playing together. We'd never played together before, and so that was the kind of first, or the second step in the process was just getting familiar with each other playing, working through some of the initial just sort of drum, guitar, vocal arrangements. Then we brought in a bassist and a keyboardist to help us sort of flesh out those arrangements. So that was another, I don't know, 6 or 8 months of working with them on the material to get those parts written and us all feeling comfortable. And then the recording process started, and that took another about 10 months or so, right? So, we don't want to take that long again, for sure.
Definitely not.
3 years in between albums is a long wait.
There was an advantage to not really existing. We had never played a show, and so we had the album ready to record, and I was like, give me a year, like, and let's really obsess over this in a way that's like probably not super healthy to do as a creative person. I'm a big believer in getting it done and getting it out there, but in this case, knew we wanted to be really, really special, and so took some extra time to really make sure things sounded sweet, including adding like a horn section to one of the songs, adding Cat Popper, who's a wonderful guest vocalist on Straight Through. We were able to add some of these things because we were able to take our time recording it.
So what's your favorite part about what you do?
For me, it's performing, which we haven't done yet. So I'm really itching. I'm really itching to play. Like, I love the live show. I love the energy. I don't dislike recording. I mean, there are aspects of it I really enjoy, but I'm not so much like the recording obsessive. I care much more about the performance, whether it's the live performance or the performance on the recording, than I do about, very specific tones or minute details. But that's what Steven loves, I think, right?
I do love to perform live, and Brian and I are both very energetic live performers, and I love it. But I've produced about over 30 albums at this point, and I really just I love getting in the studio and helping artists like Brian kind of take the sounds they hear in their head and figure out how to get those onto a record, which if you've ever tried to do that, it's actually really hard to do. There's so many factors. And to me, that challenge is really fun. And I love the writing process too. And this has taken so long that we've got a full set of songs ready for album two, and we've got plans lined up to record it. But at the same time, it's really cool to have that process going on while we're putting out this first one, which was really such a labor of love for us.
And the
I
first
think
one, by the
we're
way, is called Killing the Bear, so we can remind the audience, Killing the Bear.
yes, Killing the Bear, our debut album, will be out March 29th.
So, I mean, if because both of you like to write, you both have illustrated that you like songwriting. If somebody said to you, you've got to pick songwriting or singing, which would you pick?
I would pick songwriting, because songwriting, going back to something we touched on a little earlier before, like the act of writing a song, like what you feel when you complete a song and you really like it, or maybe you sit on it for a day because you don't think it's that good, and then you return to it and you're like, oh, this is actually pretty good. That's an amazing feeling, like completing a song and being proud of that work. Is very therapeutic, to your point earlier. And so yeah, I there may be a day where I can't sing anymore, but I could still write, so that's fine.
Do you ever look at the songs you wrote when you were a little kid, when you first wrote your first song, and go back to those songs?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really write a lot of material that had lyrics until I was in sort of my college days, but I do go back to some of those songs, and interestingly enough, we might actually be digging one of those songs up, and sort of doing a new arrangement of it. So yeah, some of that material holds up, some of it doesn't. That's the way it works. But yeah, I do revisit it from time to time.
Well, that's great that, and I'm sure that some of the songs you hadn't experienced a whole lot because you were much younger when you first started writing songs. And as somebody who has written songs as long as you have and as many as you have, it's a craft, it's an art form. And you had said earlier that you were reading the newspaper and songs come to you from reading the newspaper, from a story you read or a headline or something. What would be the most unusual? I ask this to all my guests who are songwriters, the most unusual place that you ever wrote a song, got inspiration for a song, the most unusual place.
I mean, the one that's coming to mind, and this is an older song, and I don't know how unusual this is, but I got on a plane to fly to a friend's wedding in Florida many years ago, and an entire, just like the process of kind of sitting in that seat on the plane, like generated an entire song in my head. So I could hear, and this doesn't often happen to me, I could hear all the chords, the entire structure of the song, and the melody in my head. And then I just wrote the lyrics to it. And then as soon as I could get back to a guitar, I basically played what I heard in my head and set the lyrics that I had written to it. And it worked out perfectly. It was like exactly as I had imagined it when I was like sitting on the plane. So yeah, again, I'm not sure how unusual that is. I'm sure that happens to some people. I think there's a Dawes song about all about like writing a song on a plane. But yeah.
Planes. We do.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of different songs over the years that were written on airplanes. Richard Marx wrote a song on an airplane, about a stewardessy.
Did Angeline.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. He was taking a nap, he woke up, he looked at her name badge, and boom, the song came to him. So yeah, it's great that music comes to you. What do you do when you get writer's block? How do you overcome that when you got to write something but you can't?
I recently got a great tip from a songwriter that is relatively new to me, and Stephen, in the last year, Margaret Glaspie. So she released an album last year called Echo the Diamond, which is a phenomenal album. And she was offering some Zoom songwriting lessons, just kind of an hour one-on-one session with her. And so I did that a few months back, and she actually gave some great tips for that, which I've been employing. And the biggest one, not to kind of blow up her secret here, but the biggest one is basically just to set a certain amount of time for yourself, let's say 15 or 20 minutes, and hit record on whatever device you're using and just like start playing and sing whatever comes to mind. Just like completely improvise a song or like a collection of snippets of songs over a set period of time as an exercise just to get yourself writing. And I found that that works really well.
That's great. I had Diane Warren on. She's a very, very well-known songwriter, and I asked her what she does to overcome writer's block, and she said she just steps away from the business, goes outside, and takes life in, and that was it. She just kind of looks at things, watches people, and gets ideas that way. You guys sound great, Brian Kay and the Parkway are talking with us about the new album Killing the Bear and the upcoming tour. And you guys are going to do another song?
So we're gonna play. This was our lead single off the album Killing the Bear. This song is called Wind the Clock, and once again, we're being joined by our good pal Mike Shade on lead guitar.
All right, wind the clock. It's Brian Kay and the Parkway on Border Crossings.
For the offering, but there's limited supply. Some are racing for the big sale, some are straining for their lives. When all these machinations marches towards our worst, turn dreamers into doubters, questioning our worth. Who will be the last of us? Drowning in the dirt. We wind the clock for curiosity. We wind the clock in solidarity.
Border Crossings, Brian Kay and the Parkway with Wind the Clock. And what is that song about? What was the inspiration?
The inspiration for it was actually an E.B. White quote. Someone had written E.B. White a letter who was going through some difficult times, going through a lot of troubles. And he wrote back this really kind of short, simple, just kind of beautiful sentiment in a letter back. And one portion of it, I think it closed with, hang on to your hat, hang on to your hope, and wind the clock, for tomorrow is another day. So it's really about, you know, sort of perseverance, not giving up, specifically not giving up on hope for a better day, despite, you know, all the turmoil you might be going through in your own life or that you might be processing kind of going on in the broader world. Mm-hmm.
Now, you guys look like you might be chemists or stockbrokers, or you don't look like the typical rock type musician looks. Not to be stereotypical. So was it always music? Did you always know music was your passion, or were you starting off in another direction?
I have always loved music, and I've played in bands. I was touring at the age of 16. And so music has always been really at the center. And then my day job, which I do have, as of this taping, it's a vehicle for me to do some other things I love, but it's also a way for me to go out and live my life. And for me, a huge part of that life is music. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's always kind of been at the center, even though it's never actually been my full-time gig.
Yeah.
How about you, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, similar. I mean, music's always been my number one passion my entire life. I mean, I was a dancer when I was a little kid.
So
dance classes, was in recitals, did break dancing and all kinds of things.
Wow.
And then progressed on to the drums. I was actually a drummer kind of first and foremost. I actually wound up studying music in college. I minored in music with a percussion focus. So I was still playing the drums through college, but along the way I picked up guitar as well, mainly as a means to start writing songs. And also, you know, guitar is so portable. You can bring it anywhere and either delight or annoy people depending on the scenario. Mm-hmm. So music's been with me my entire life. I've similarly been like performing in both solo and in various duos and bands for the last like 20 years or so.
Wow.
It just so happens that we're at the moment right now where we're taking a bit of a step forward, at least for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of focusing more on touring and making sure as many people as possible hear this music.
Mm-hmm. It feels like, you know, the ride is just beginning for you guys, although you talk about collaborating for 20 years, but now it's the debut album as Brian Kay and the Parkway, and you're looking forward to your first concerts, your tour. You said you didn't sing in front of people before, so this is coming up for the East Coast. Maybe it's your first East Coast tour, maybe it's your first official tour, and you've done other shows, but...
We did this is really it. We did like one sort of private invite only event just for close friends and family, and specifically those who like weren't going to be able to come to our actual release show. So it was a very like tightly held thing. And that was really more of a, you know, an open practice session, if you will. The release show will be our first official public show, and then we're immediately following up with the tour, and I can't wait to like hear what the band does as we continue to grow and get tighter and tighter through this series of shows.
Mm-hmm. And if people around the world who are meeting, you know, Brian Kay and the Parkway for the first time now by watching us here on VOA, where can they find information about you guys? Where can they read about you, know where you're performing, you know, get your album? Where do they have to go?
Totally. BrianKayandtheParkway.com is kind of the central hub where everything is. But if you use Spotify or really any music streaming service, our album will be on there. If you would like a vinyl copy of the album, which does ship internationally, maybe some t-shirts, that will all be at BrianKayandtheParkway.bandcamp.com. And of course, we're on social media, on Instagram, and Facebook, and we kind of cut up on there. We have a good time. The music may be kind of serious, but we have a lot of fun on social media. So yeah, follow us there. Follow what we're doing. We're going to be on tour throughout the year, and we'll be continuing to put out new music even after this album is out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's an exciting time, I'm sure, for you guys. And before we let you go, I wanted to ask if there's anything you want to say to the global audience who are tuned in, which includes the troops, by the way. So if there's a message you want to convey, a shout out, go right ahead.
Yeah, I would just say, you know, it's delightful to be able to speak to you all. We're so glad for this opportunity. And we're all connected. We're all one human race.
Exactly. Well said. Brian Kay and the Parkway, thank you guys so much for joining us here on Border Crossing. So happy to have you with us talking about the new album, Killing the Bear. My name is Larry London, and you are watching Border Crossings on VOA TV.